The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Shmini. Amongst the mitzvahs which are taught in Parshas Shmini are mitzvahs which have to do with what is referred to as macholos asuris, foods which are forbidden to be eaten. For example, in this parsha, it states in Perek Yud Aleph, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe ve'al Aaron le'mor alehem," and Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying to them, "To say to them, Dabru el bnei Yisrael le'mor, Zeisa chaya she'teichlu mikol ha'behima asher alo oretz." This is the chaya. This is the animal which you are allowed to eat from those animals which live on the land. Then the Torah goes into the kosher domesticated animal and the domesticated animal which is not kosher, and then the kosher wild animal and those which are not kosher, and the behemoths, the chayas, the dogim, fish which we are allowed to eat and fish which we are not allowed to eat, aphis tomeis, the birds which are permissible and those that are forbidden. Shrotzei ha'oretz and shrotzei ha'mayim, the small animals that live in the ground, close to the ground, which are forbidden, and these type of animals also which live in the sea. These are some of the mitzvahs which are taught in Parshas Shmini. Now we have also other mitzvahs when it comes to macholos asuris, forbidden foods, which are brought in other parshas. For example, we have the mitzvah shechita, that when we eat an animal, we have to shecht it first. It has to be ritually slaughtered. If not, it's what is classified as isa nevela. It's forbidden because of nevela. We have trefa. Trefa is if an animal, if there is something wrong with the animal, if one of its organs is damaged, severely damaged, this renders an animal trefa. We have a mitzvah of bosa v'cholov, that we're not allowed to cook milk and meat together. We have other such mitzvahs, such as gid hanosha, a particular nerve which we have to remove from the thigh of the animal. Chelev and dam, there are certain types of fats on the animal that we're not allowed to eat, or the blood, and so forth. Now this whole category, macholos asuris, foods which are forbidden, how should one look at this? Now a popular version how to view this category, and actually this is even found in the writings of some of the early Rishonim, to give a simple meaning into the mitzvah, is that there is something in these types of foods which is dangerous for a Jew, and can cause danger or damage to the Jew. It can be megadol by tevara, it can give him a bad nature. For example, if he would eat a wild animal like a lion or a leopard, or fish like dogim tamein, crabs, and so forth, or the chazir, the swine. So this would be megadol bei tevara, that these animals have a nature which is not good. It will give the Jew such a nature. And also, mintamtem es liboy, it would close up his heart. What is meant by that? Make his heart coarse. Take away the sensitivity from him, from himself. Give him bad qualities and make it difficult for him to understand things. And therefore, this should be viewed with a repugnance. And this is something which is disgusting. Just like one would view something which is poison. If you would give something that's poison to a person, he certainly won't want to eat it. He would be distance himself from it as much as possible. And he knows that if he would eat it, so there's something in the nature of that food which would physically damage him. And so is it with this entire area of macholas asurais, forbidden foods. And therefore the Torah asked the eagle and the raven and the hawk and the owl and the swine and the camel and the lion and the leopard and the crabs and octopuses and so forth and so on. The truth of the matter is this is not the viewpoint which the Torah teaches us or the sages. To cite a few sources, the Torah tells us in Parshas Toldos, Perchov Vov Posuk Hei, Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to Yitzchok and he tells Yitzchok that I am going to give you all types of blessings, Ekev Asher Shoma Avraham Bekeli, because Avraham has listened to my voice, Vayishmor Mishmarti Mitzvesai Chukesai V'Seirasoi, because Avraham God all of my Torah, every facet of the Torah. Mishmati, Mitzvesai, Chukaisai, V'Seirosoi. And the Almighty categorizes the Torah. One of the categories mentioned is Chukaisai. So Rashi tells us, what is that? Dvorim sheyetzohore v'umas ha'elam meshivim aleihem. These are certain mitzvahs which the yetzohore, the evil force in the person, and the nations of the world come to refute. For example, the eating of the pig or wearing shatnas, that we're not allowed to wear a combination of wool and flax. Why did they come to refute it? Because they say there is no reason. What is the reason? What there, we have examined the wearing of wool together with flax, and we have examined the swine, the pig, or other such animals, and in all of our wisdom we can distinguish nothing between the pig and the camel and the cow as far as the human being is concerned. And therefore, why do you keep these mitzvahs, Yisrael? Why were you commanded on these? Shein damadover. And the truth is that they're right. The Torah says they're right that you can examine pig and camel and crabs and the eagle and the hawk and all of the wisdom that science has ever known or will know will not be able to distinguish anything, any detrimental factor or nature in these animals that might have a negative effect on a person or on a Jew. And the Torah says, yes, Ramadover. There is no reason for these mitzvahs man in his wisdom can comprehend. Elexedus HaMelech. It's a decree of the king. Bechukesov Alavodov, and it's a decree on his servants. And this is the meaning of chukim, a statute. There is what is known as a mishpot. A mishpot is a mitzvah that we can clearly see a logic in. There is a human logic in it at the human level. And there is what is known as a chayk. And a chayk is chukah chakakti. This is a statute that I have engraved in the creation, and at the human comprehension there is no definition in it. It's a decree for me. This doesn't mean to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees things without reasons. But the reasons are not at the human level. They're beyond the human level. This is the interpretation of Chukesai, and Rashi brings from his sources that Achilas Chazir, the eating of the swine of the pig, in other words, Macholas Asures, is not Bichlal Mishpotim, is not included in Mishpotim, in mitzvahs, which there is a human comprehension of, but in Chukim and mitzvahs, which are beyond human comprehension. When it comes to eating poison, and the Torah commands us that Ushmartim Me'edes Nafshesechem, you shall guard yourselves closely, this is not a chek, this is a mishpat. This is something that there's a very strong human comprehension in. We know that we're not supposed to eat something that is going to damage us, and we know we're not supposed to jump into a fire or do anything that will physically harm us one way or the other. But nevertheless, the Macholas Asureis are classified in the Chukim. Now, when we speak of Chukim, so there is another chek which the Torah speaks about, and that's in Parshas Chukas. In Parshas Chukas, which is in Bamidbar Yutes, the Torah states, Zeis Chukas HaTeira Asher Tzivo Hashem Lemor. This is a statute of the Torah which Hashem has commanded. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'yikhu heilecho afora aduma tmimo. Speak to the children of Israel and take to you a pora. A pora is a young cow, aduma, which is completely red, tmimo, which is out of blemish, asher ein babum. Asher le'ol olo aleha ol, which never carried a yoke. And then the Torah goes through a whole parsha, a whole discussion, what we should do with that. That in case somebody comes into contact with a dead person, so he is rendered tomei, he is rendered impure. And how can he purify himself? Only with this whole process of the Porah Aduma of the red head, of the red cow. Well, we have to take this cow, we have to shecht it, slaughter it, and then we burn it, and then we mix it with Mayim Chaim, water which has come from a spring, and with the ashes, and we make a solution, and we throw this on the person that became Tomei, and so forth and so on, and he becomes Tohar. This purifies himself. Now, this also, the Torah tells us explicitly, Zeis Chukas, this is not to be viewed at the human level, at the logical level, at the physical level. There is no physical change that that the person will undergo. If he was tomei before, if he was impure before, there's very little that the Porah Aduma, that this red cow, can do physically to change him. And that's why it states Chukas. So here Rashi also says, Lefi shahasotn v'um esailam meinin es Yisrael. Why did Hashem say, Zeis Chukas HaTeira, this is my statute? Because he knew clearly that the sotn, the evil force, and the nations of the world are going to come to Klal Yisrael and say, what is going on here? What kind of nonsense is this? Here a person touches a dead person and you say he's tomei. He has to distance himself from various things. There is no physical change whatsoever that has taken place in him. And now you come and you bring this red cow and you shecht it, you slaughter it, and you mix it with water and ashes and so forth and so on, and now you say that he's pure. What kind of nonsense is this? The fisha sotn bume say lam ein in es Yisrael leimer ma mitzvah zei sumatam yesh bo the ficha kosa ba chuka. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu pre-warned this and he said this is a chuka. Gzeira him alafonai, this is a decree before me that you won't understand and the world will not understand. Ein lecho reshus lahara achareho, and therefore you have no permission to have afterthoughts in regards to it. You have no permission to challenge it because it's something which is beyond your comprehension. So here we clearly see that these mitzvahs that we're speaking about are not part of the mishpotim, but rather are part of the chukim. A second source. There's a Teres Kahanim in Parshas Kedoshim. The Maral speaks on this and the entire subject in Perek Shmini of Tferes Yisrael. What should a person's attitude be towards Macholas Asuras, these forbidden foods, from the fact that he cannot eat it? Should he train himself to the point where it disgusts him? And he should say, crabs, how can someone eat that? Or ham, how can someone eat it? Or nevela, something which is not shechted, where it's totally repugnant to him and disgusting, the same way he would look at something which is a sick animal, or something which is rotten, or something which is poison, which he knows that can harm himself. Or maybe he should have a different attitude. So the Torah's Kohanim tells us, Le'yemar Odom, Iyafshe b'psar chazir, Iyafshe b'dvar pleni. A person is not allowed to say that I don't want to eat pig. I can't stand it. I don't want it and I cannot stand it. A person is not allowed to say that. But he must say, Le'efshi. He must say, I do want it. It's very good. It tastes good. People eat it and they become healthy from it. And it's good for the person. I do want it. Restaurants throughout the world make big businesses on all of this. But what can I do? But what can I do? My Father in heaven has decreed on us as Jews that we're not allowed to eat it. See, here also we see, I mean, when it comes to eating poison, a person doesn't say that really I want to eat it, and it's good for you, and it's tasty, but what can I do? My Father in heaven has told me not to eat it. That's not why you... If you don't eat it because it's disgusting, because you see the ra in it, you know, you see the potential hazard in it. There are certain... The Torah tells us there are certain creatures, the nafshe shel odom, that the person... of a person, the nefesh of a person, the meshukets in the eyes of the person. There are certain creatures which cause a repugnance, a disgust to people. This is by his nature. But there are many foods which are in these categories which we are learning about that are not disgusting to people. They make very, very good foods, both from an aspect of taste and from an aspect of health. Health departments throughout the modern world have very strict codes in foods which are not healthy, so they do not allow you to have them on the market. But there are all types of tray for foods which are on the market which are very, very healthy. So perhaps the Jew should say, this is not for me, it's disgusting, I can't stand it. And the Torah's Kohanim says explicitly, not like that, because I'll say not like that. A person should not say that I don't want it because I cannot stand it, it's disgusting. But he should say it's good. What can I do? Kodesh Baruch Hu has decreed. Now, the Maral, and I believe I once saw this in the Rambam also in Shmein Aparokim, says that this klal applies only to a chayk, not to a mishpot. A mishpot, for example, this that the Torah said that you shall not steal. You shall not harm another person. You shall not damage his property. Or you should honor your father and mother. These are what are known as mishpotim, because their reasons are very, very logical and apparent. There, a person is not allowed to say that. A person is not allowed to say that, really, I would like to steal. Really, I would take your money. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. See, or really, I don't want to honor my father and mother. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me. There, the person is not allowed to say that. What's the difference? Because if it's a mishpot, if it's a mitzvah where there's human comprehension in, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us because of the teiv shebei, of the goodness that is in it. Mishpatim, we can see the good in it. So, not only are we motivated to do this because of his sivui, because he commanded us. Okay. Main reason we do it is because he commanded us. But also, we do it because of the good that's in it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do it because he wants us to be good. So he commanded us to do good things. Stoker. You don't say that, really, I don't want to give any, I don't want to help my brother at all. But the Almighty commanded me. What can I do? No. He commanded me to help my brother because he commanded me to do good. And this is good. So there a person has to take the mitzvah and put it into his nature, into his personality. So he does the mitzvah because Hashem commanded, and because of the good that's in it. Hashem commanded us to do the good that's in the mitzvah, to be good, like the mitzvah. So there are two motivations. But when it comes to a chok, a statute which is beyond human comprehension, there we can only have one motivation. And that's the motivation he commanded us. We cannot say that we want to keep this mitzvah because of the goodness that's in it. We can't understand the goodness that's in it. Unless someone would be perhaps great like Moshe Rabbeinu, someone very, very great, where he was able to understand the reasons even for the chukim. See, the chukim, the statutes have reasons also, but they're beyond our comprehension. Shlema Melech, King Solomon, said that he thought he was wise, and he saw he was still distance from him when he started to study the parish of Torah Aduma, the subject of the red cow. So then we cannot say that we want to do it or we don't want to do it because of the goodness in it, because of the chafetz itself. So there our motivation must be al yemar odom. A person shouldn't say yef shibo, I don't want to eat it. No, I want to eat it. But what can I do? Hashem decreed. See, so there's a basic difference in attitudes when it comes to a mishpat or it comes to a chayk. One is that we have a motivation and we're drawn to it both from the command of Hashem and from the goodness which is in the mitzvah, which Hashem wants to us to develop in ourselves. And the chayk, the statute is that the mitzvah itself cannot draw us. The wearing of wool in flax, we can't say this is something which we see the evil in it. We don't see any evil in it. But why then do we keep it? Because kach gozar avi shebishamayim. Because my Father in heaven has so commanded. So here also we see very clearly that the attitudes towards forbidden foods cannot be aimed at a physical or a natural level, like something that would be hazardous to the person at a natural level. Then naturally he would have to distance himself from it as much as he could. Other examples. We find in many places the Torah permitted forbidden foods, made exceptions, and it permitted it. And if this was something which would be hazardous to the human being because of its very essence and nature, then it would be very difficult to permit it. And we'll give a few examples. Bosa Nechira. When Klal Yisrael were in the desert, before they came into Eretz Yisrael, there are opinions in the Gemara that they were allowed to eat Bosur Nechira, meat of an animal that was killed, even though it was not shechted. This was after the giving of the Torah. Before they came into Eretz Yisrael, they were permitted to eat animals that were not shechted. Now this is Nevela. Nevela is something which we are not permitted to eat. If we say that this is going with natural lines, physical logic, so what's the difference before they came to Eretz Yisrael or after they came to Eretz Yisrael? If there would be arsenic that a person couldn't eat, would there be a difference where he was? It would do the same to the individual. A second example. The Pasuk says, "Ubotim Malayim Kol Tuv." When you come to Eretz Yisrael and you go to war against the seven nations, Hashem says, I give you everything that's there. Whatever you take from the seven nations will belong to you. Houses full of goodness will belong to you. So the Gemara learns from there in Masechta Chulin and of Yud Zayin that whatever you find in their houses, is for you to partake from. Afilu kosle de chazirim. That even chazir, when you go into Eretz Yisrael and you capture their homes, and they have hams in their homes, they're smoking their hams there, you're allowed to take it and eat when you conquer Eretz Yisrael. Botim aleim kol tuv, all good that you find in their houses. So this is an exception. Here the Torah permitted it. But how could the Torah permit it? If this is something which is totally hazardous to the person, if this is something which is poison, how could the Torah permit it? Another example, ben pakua. Every animal must be shechted, like we said. If it's not ritually shechted, then it's nevela. Nevela is something that we are not allowed to eat. The Gemara brings in the Sechta Chulin that if you shecht an animal and you find that the animal has a fetus and the fetus lives, that animal does not, it lives and it grows up, that animal doesn't need shechita. When it comes time to eat from it, you can kill it in any way you please and you can eat from it. It doesn't need shechita because it was in the mother's womb when the mother was shechted, and the shechita of the mother therefore helps babehema, kol ma shebehema, for the fetus also. So here's a live animal that's living, and when it comes time that you want to eat it, you can kill it any way you want. So as far as physically, it wasn't shechted. The Gemara says also in Pergira Nosha, Daf Ein Dalet Omer Aleph, Chelev, it's fats which are not permitted by any other animal, and this type of animal would be permitted. Now this is the same fat, and still the Torah permits it. In the Beis HaMikdash, another example, the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen would kill the ophis, would kill the birds which were brought as a sacrifice in a way that it would render them a nevela outside of the Beis HaMikdash. He would not shecht the bird, but rather he would, with his fingernail, puncture the bird's neck from the back. If you would do such a thing like that outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then that would become nevela, and we would be forbidden to eat it. But here, it was permitted. This is another example. A further example, we have klolim, we have principles in Macholos Asuris, which are known as Bitul Berayv and Bitul Beshishim. If you have something which is a forbidden food, and it becomes mixed up with other forbidden foods, it becomes mixed up with permitted foods, and we cannot identify one from the other, so in many cases, if there's a majority of permitted foods over and beyond the forbidden food, it all becomes permitted. Sometimes we need a majority, sometimes we need shishim, we need 60 times the amount. I doubt if we would do this if we were dealing with poisons. Poisons are arsenics that would become mixed up. You had three bottles, and one was arsenic and two were some other types of liquids, and they became mixed up, I don't think it would be a good idea to eat them. Yet nevertheless, in regards to Macholos Asuris, it's permitted. Another example, Ktanim. The halacha is, the law is, that cotton eichel nevelis, oviv mafrisha mishum chinuch. If a cotton, if a minor, we are not allowed to feed a minor Macholos Asuris, forbidden foods. This the Gemara learns out of a posuk. We are not allowed to feed them. But if they eat it on their own, then min ha-Torah, in regards to the Torah, they can eat it, because they are not commanded a mitzvah. They are loved by b'nei mitzvahs. The father is obligated to stop them from eating it, mishum chinuch mitzvahs, in order to educate them in mitzvahs, which is a mitzvah d'rabbonin, which is a decree from the rabbis that even though a cotton, a minor, is not obligated in mitzvahs, we should start educating him in mitzvahs from the age when he starts to understand those mitzvahs, in order that when he becomes bar mitzvah, the entire Torah will not fall on him at one time. That's the only reason, though, that we have to stop a kotan, a minor, from eating foods which are not permissible. But lulei zeis, besides that, he can eat. Now, if your son or if a boy, you see a boy eating something which is rotten or moldy or poisonous, whether he's bar mitzvah or not bar mitzvah, you must stop him from eating it, because it's a sakona. There would be a mitzvah min HaTorah to be leisamer al dam reyacho, that someone is eating something which you know is dangerous for him. Then there's a mitzvah min HaTorah. You're not allowed to let him eat it. You have to protect him from it. But still, we see when it comes to macholos asuras, there's no such halacha. So again, we see that it cannot be understood at the physical and natural level. And so do we see with the non-Jews. Adam HaRishon, the first man, the Torah explicitly allowed him to eat everything. Everything that grew. He wasn't allowed to eat meat, but everything that grew he was allowed to eat. 10 generations later, Noah, who was a great righteous person, so righteous that he saved the entire world, he was allowed to eat everything. Not only what grew, but all types of animal life. Under condition, though, that he would kill it first. Now, neither Adam or Noah, or any one of the nations of the world, were allowed to eat something which was poisonous to them. Because they're not allowed to commit suicide, they're not allowed to damage themselves. Nobody is allowed to eat something which is damaging to him. Yet, they were given permission to eat everything in the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, it's all yours. As long as first you kill it, you don't leave it, eat it while it's alive. And it's not another human being. And this was a brocha, this was a blessing to them. Only Israel were given these particular mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs. Adam and Noach, they were given 6 and 7 mitzvahs. But Israel were given 613. So again we see that if this is something that is to be viewed at the human and the natural level, so what is the distinction? And in general we should know that every particular individual mitzvah of this category has its own reasons and its own sources. We cannot lump it into one category and treat them all as the same. For example, we have Gid Hanoshe. Gid Hanoshe is the part when we shecht an animal, so if the hindquarters are going to be eaten, so we have to very carefully go through the hindquarters, remove all of the fats and the Gid Hanoshe, which is a very delicate and sophisticated job. And that is a particular nerve in the thigh. Now that, the Torah gives a different reason. Al-Kain la-yechlus b'nei Yisrael es Gid Hanoshe. The Torah doesn't say there's anything wrong with that. It says because of what happened with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov got into a fight one night with Sarai Shel Esav, with the angel of Esav, and they fought the entire night. And the angel of Esav could not conquer Yaakov, and finally he injured him in the thigh. Because of that, the Torah says that Yisrael doesn't eat the thigh with that nerve where he was injured. See? So it comes from a different source altogether. Chalev. Chalev is a type of fat which we don't eat. We're not allowed to. We remove it from the animal before we eat the animal. But there the Torah didn't say because it's tomei. Here by animals it says these animals are tohor, these are tomei. There are some animals which are pure to you, some are impure. Chalev the Torah didn't say because it's tomei. To the contrary. Chalev the Torah said it's because it's the best part of the animal that goes on the Mizbeach, that goes on the altar. This is why you're not allowed to eat it. This is what the Torah tells us. The fact is, it's all of those sections which were sacrificed on the altar, which were considered the best part of the animal, those are the sections which they were not allowed to eat. And it comes out, the Gemara brings, that in a chayo, in a wild animal, in those wild animals that were permitted to eat, for example, deer, from the deer family and so forth, they were never brought as sacrifices, so their chalev, their fat was never brought on the altar. They were allowed to eat the fat. Dam, blood. If we lump that in the same category with everything else and we tell them this is something that we say this is something we must distance ourselves from because it's poison to the human being, it's poison to the Jew. The Torah didn't forbid dam blood because it's impure. The Torah said, blood you shall not eat because it's what's brought on the altar. The blood was placed on the altar, v'hadam hu anefesh. And the blood is the life of the animal. And because it's the life of the animal, okay, nosati ala mizbeach lechaper, I have given it to you to bring on the altar to atone for your life. And therefore you shall not eat it. So we see that it's totally of gross ignorance to take all of the macholas asuras, everything in this category, lot all together, that we must distance ourselves from it when each one has totally different reasons. Blood, the Torah didn't say, is impure. The blood says it represents the life. And because it represents life, I have given it to you to atone for your lives. That when you bring a sacrifice, it will go on the altar. Therefore, you should not eat it. And this has halachic legal ramifications. The Gemara brings that blood, which is not capable of going on the altar, in many instances becomes permissible, because the iser, the forbiddance, is intertwined with this. So therefore, in general, it is not clever to put this all into one group. Put this all into one group as if and give them all one the same an equal reason. And we'll bring another example to this. This is from what we've done now is that we've listed 6 or 7 exceptions where the Torah permitted the eating of forbidden foods. And we're saying that those cases do not justify the eating of foods which is dangerous to oneself. So we must say that this is not the reason, but there are different reasons. It's not based on the natural level, on the physical level. But there are other reasons, higher reasons, and therefore circumstances can cause changes in those reasons. Now, another example of this attitude is from a medrash in Bamidbar Perek Yutes. And this is in Parshas Chukas by the Por Aduma. This has to do with the red cow which we're speaking about. Shol Gei Echod is Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. A non-Jew came one day to Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was the great leader of Klal Yisrael during the Churban Abayis, during the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. And he said, Ilun Uvdayo Do Osen Abdin Niroim Kimin Kshofi. He came to Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai and he says, you know, I know that Jews don't like witchcraft. They don't like sorcery. It's contrary to what they believe in. But he says, with respect, I must say that what you do seems to me very much like sorcery and witchcraft. Atem mevim por, you bring a kal, v'sorfi meso, and you burn it, keitchi meso, you grind up the ashes, naitlines afro, you take the ashes, ve'echad mikem metam lemeis, and when one of you have become impure because you touched a dead person, came into contact with a dead person, meizin olov shnayim u'shleish tipin, so you take this solution that you made from the water and the ashes and you throw it on him, v'atem aimrim le'tehato, and you say, now he's pure. He says, to me this looks like something of witchcraft. Omalei, so Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai answered him. He says, "Nichnas b'cho ruach hazosis mimecho." Omar lei lo iso odim shenichnas b'ruach hazosis. He says, "Have you ever seen someone amongst your people that an evil spirit should enter into him?" Amalahain, he says, yes, many times we have cases of a person that an evil spirit enters into him, and it's a problem to get rid of the evil spirit. Omalay umatim aisim. So Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai asked him, and what do you do about it? Omalay, he says, mevim ikrim. We bring certain types of herbs. Uma ashnim tachtov. And we light a fire under them, and we cause a lot of smoke. Umarbitzin olehom mayim. And we pour water over it, and we create a big smoke screen next to the person. Vihi bayrachas. And the evil spirit runs away. We chase the evil spirit away. Omalay. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, Yishmo aznecho ma sha'ata meitzi mipicho. He says, let your ears listen to what your mouth is saying. Kacha ruach hazeh ruach tuma. A man became impure because he touched a dead person. So this is like an evil spirit. And meizin alav hu bereach. And we go through all of this ceremony and we chase it away. So the person was satisfied. Very good. And he walked away. After he walked away, Omru le Talmidov. So the Talmidim, the disciples of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, came to him and he said, Lozer tochisa bekono. He says, you take a person like that, an ignorant peasant, he says, to him you can tell Baba Maisim. See? To him you can tell such nonsense. Of a ma'ata eimer, ma'ata eimer, lonu ma'ata eimer. But what will you explain to us? See, are you going to explain Pora Aduma to us also with this Baba Maisa, with this nonsense? That there's an evil spirit in the person, and we're going to make a big smoke screen, and it's going to chase the evil spirit away. He says, that's good for that peasant, that you had to explain something to him at his level, and he was very satisfied with it. But you're not going to sell us on that. This is what the Talmidim, the disciples, told Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai told him something very interesting. He says, Om Alehem Chayechem. He says, Chayechem, by your lives. I take an oath. Lehameis mitama. The dead person doesn't cause impurity. Velehamayim mitaharim. And the waters do not cause purity. Elo Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Chuka Chakakti. This is my decree which I have hewed into the universe. Gzeiro gozati. This is my decree. Iatorishoi lava gzeirosai. Dixiv zechukas haTorah. You are not allowed to challenge my decrees. And this is why it states zechukas haTorah. These are the laws, the chukim of the Torah. Now what was meant here? So let me explain. The discussion was, we cannot say that coming into contact with a dead person does nothing to the person. And bringing the Pora Aduma, the red cow, and going through this whole process also does nothing to the person. Because if that's so, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command it for? And with all of its intricacies. And there's whole mesechtes, whole volumes of Talmud, in this entire mitzvah. And we cannot say that wearing of tzemer u'pishtim, flax and linen together, is nothing. So what did the Torah forbid it for? And we have whole mesechtes on that. And the same thing with macholos asuris. You cannot say that the eating of the pig or of the leopard or whatever it might be, or the crabs, is nothing. Except so what did he decree it for? So what was the whole discussion here? The discussion is what we're talking about, the Maharal says. There are qualities that man can comprehend and understand in accordance with the level of nature. In accordance with the level of nature. And this is known as natural science. And this is known as Chochmas HaTeva. Chochma. This is wisdom. To be able to look into the nature of the world and to understand all of its secrets. This is a Chochma. This is a great, great wisdom. We make a bracha, Baruch Shenosan, Me Chochmasa Lebos Vedom. The blessed is he who has given from his wisdom to flesh and man, to man of flesh and blood. We are not to view the mitzvahs of chukim, the statutes, through the eyes of nature. Because through the eyes of nature, there is no distinction. Chayechem, by your life, Rabbi Eichmann said. Ein hames metame. A dead person, which you come into contact, causes no natural differences between the person before he came into contact with him and the person after he came into contact with him. You can bring all of the greatest wise men in the world, and with all of their computers, and they will find no differences whatsoever. And there is no difference in this person before the waters were poured on him from the Por Aduma and after the waters were poured on him from the Por Aduma. Exactly the same. And the same is it with the chazir, with the pig, or with the ham, or the crabs, or anything else, or with the eagle and the hawk. You can make a chemical breakdown of all animals. They'll all have different chemical breakdowns. Each one has a little different quality. But you will not find anything which is seriously injurious from any of these animals. There are animals which are injurious, but then all of human civilization does not eat them. But here there is nothing. Chayechem, by your lives, ein ames metamin ve'ein amay metarim. The dead person does not affect him in accordance to human nature, and the waters do not affect him in accordance to human nature. Elachuka hakakti, but it is a statute that I have hewed into the Bria, into the universe. What does that mean? It means not at a physical nature, not at the level of people, but at my level, of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There are levels higher than the physical nature. There are levels which are impossible to comprehend through science, because science is the wisdom of the physical nature of the world. But there are worlds beyond the physical level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at everything not only in its physical level, but also at its spiritual source. And at its spiritual level, the spiritual nature of a dead person will affect the Jew. And the spiritual nature of the Por Adum of the Red Cow will affect him. The spiritual nature of the Chazir, of the pig, or the other animals will affect the Jew. Will affect the spiritual level of the Jew. And therefore, chukka chakakti, and therefore these decrees I have made, because these are mitzvahs Hashem. These are spiritual mitzvahs, and are not to be viewed at all at the physical or natural level. And this is what the Rabbi Yechiman Zake answered him. See, this non-Jew, he came along, and he expected to understand this at a physical level. So he said, it looks like sorcery. All right, so he answered him. He answered him at a physical level. But that was just to give him a simple answer in order that he shouldn't bother him. But the fiamita, in the truth of the matter, he said, there is nothing here at the physical level. The dead people, they have no physical effect on you whatsoever. And the Por Aduma has no physical effect on you whatsoever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at his spiritual level, this is how he has created the world. Now, if this is the case, so then we understand very well what the Teirish Kanim says, that a person shouldn't say, Yefshibo, that I don't want to eat this, I can't stand it. Why? From a food value, it's a very good food value. If someone serves you good food and it tastes good and it's healthy, you don't say, I can't stand it. It's ugly. It's repugnant. if he serves you something which is poison or something which is rotten or something which is injurious, then you say, well, it's repugnant, I don't want it. But that's not the case here. But a person must say, Efshimbo, it's very good, and I want it. But what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us as Jews, because of our spiritual nature and the spiritual nature of this particular food, that we're not allowed to eat it. So kach gozer ovi shemishamayim. If the physical nature of this food was injurious, then we would have kashas. We would have many questions on all of these cases that we brought. Just because they were outside of Eretz Yisrael, they could eat it. Or just because they conquered the house and it had treif of food in it, they're allowed to eat it. But it's injurious, it's poison. Poison doesn't change in accordance to the time, or in accordance to what land you're in, or by a child. A child is allowed to eat poison. But since the physical qualities of the food are acceptable, what's wrong with it is its spiritual level, its spiritual source, in accordance to the Jew's spirit. All right, so now those circumstances can change. Could be that it, before coming into Eretz Yisrael, it didn't affect the Jew spirit. Or after coming into Eretz Yisrael, if it was Mishlal or Oretz, if it was from the spoils of the land, in such a case it didn't affect. Or by a child that has a different spiritual level altogether, it doesn't affect. And there we can't ask questions on, because we don't understand the spiritual value of it to begin with. Right? Physical value we understand. And we know when something has something which is hazardous, so external circumstances are not going to affect that. But this is not because of physical hazards. There's a Gemara in Masechta Yoma that the Lamed Tes Omer Aleph, that the Maral brings here. Many people quote this Gemara. They say the Gemara brings in Masechta Yoma, it states, Aveiro metamteim libo shel odom. That Aveiro, it could be referring to many, many different types of prohibitions, Isurim, but in particular, it's referring to the prohibitions of Macholos Asuris, of foods which are forbidden. And it states that Aveiro metamteim libo shel odom, the word metamteim means close up. That when one eats these foods, it closes up the Jew's heart. This means it'll give him a coarse nature. A heart, this is what is known as libay posuach. A person has an open heart where not only it affects his personality and brings good qualities in his personality, but it affects his understanding. It's an open heart where he has lev lahovin, a heart to understand everything. Metamtem libay shalodim means it closes up his heart. It's like you fill up a bore, you fill up a pit. It closes his heart where he can't understand anymore. It will minimize his power to understand wisdom, to understand Torah. It will minimize his power to understand people and to be good to people. Aveira metamtem esod. Shneamar, as it states, al tetamu behem v'nit meisim bo. In this parsha, where it states that you're not allowed to eat from all of these various things which I have forbidden you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it says, Al tetamu behem, do not make yourself impure, because you will become impure from them. So the Gemara says, Al tikra benit mas, al tetamu behem, benit masem bo, benit bo, al tikra, Ela unetamtein bohem. Vinit mesombom. Al tikra vinit mesombom. Do not pronounce this vinit mesombom, that you will become tome. Ela unetamtein bohem. But it will close you up. It will close up your heart. So the moral asks, it seems from here that it will affect you physically. So he says, no, that's wrong shot in the Gemara. He says, you're distorting what the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say the eating of these foods will affect you physically. The Gemara says, Aveira. Aveira metamteim libe shel odom. The transgression will affect you. Not the food, but the transgression. Hare lo omro rak aveira metamteim libe shel odom. Ki atimtum hazeh mitzar haveira. Ki mipnei sho'ovar ha-mitzvus roi lo'odom mitzar ha-nafshei nefesh elokis. Because he transgressed the mitzvahs, that's what will affect him. Aval ein ze mitzar ha-teve shel shrotzim, but not because of the nature of the forbidden creatures. This means, like we say, not because of the nature. If the Gemara would have said that the eating of a, if you eat a sheretz, if you eat a snake, or you eat a lizard, so this will affect the Jew, it comes out the lizard is affected. This means at the level of nature. And then we'd have all of these questions that we asked. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, Aveira, the transgression of the eating of the lizard does. In other words, at its spiritual source, not at its physical level. When the Torah forbade it, so then naturally that's going to affect the person, but because of its spiritual source. The difference would be, let's say the Torah in a certain instance permits it because of its circumstances that the Torah sees fit for to permit it. So then it's not the lizard that is causing the damage to the person, it's the aveira of eating it. When there is aveira, where there's a transgression, but not where there's a permission. And then one final chazal. And that is in Medrash Tanhuma. Rashi brings it in our parsha, but Rashi just brings part of it. He brings it concisely. In the beginning of our parsha, of the Macholos Asuras, of the forbidden foods, it states, Dabru el bnei Yisrael emor zeis hachayo asher techlu mikol ha-behema. This is the chayo which you shall eat from all of the animals. Now chayo is what a wild animal is referred to. But chayo also means from the word chay, life. Now the question is asked, why were these mitzvahs given dafke only to Yisrael? And not to all of the nations. Now actually, if this is to be understood at the level, at the physical and natural level, then the question will be a very good question. So it should be given to all nations. What's the difference at the physical and natural level? What's the difference between Israel and the others? So the Medrash says like this. Moshe l'ma'a devadema. Areifish v'holech levakar beis chaylin. Medrash tells a story. There was once a doctor who went to visit two sick people. One he saw was dying, and there was nothing he could do for him. So he told the people caring for him in his house, listen, I'm not going to put him on a diet. He didn't tell them the reason, but he said, I'm not going to put him on a special diet. The reason is, he says, because he felt there's nothing he could do for him whatsoever. And the person is going to die. So he says, whatever he asks you to eat, you might as well give it to him. Okay? Give it to him. The other person he saw, he had a chance to cure. So therefore he gave him a very special diet. He said, you must be careful not to give him any of this or any of this, and this you must give him. So they came and they asked the Reif Mazia, why is this? This one you say you could feed anything to, and the other one you're very careful. So he explained to them why. He says, because this one, the diet is not going to affect him. While the other one, I see that he has a possibility of living and pulling through. Therefore, I'm careful with his diet. Kacha Kodesh Baruch Hu. So is Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu said like this. He says, the nations of the world they are going to live on this world, and in the next world they'll come to certain heights. So therefore I don't have to be so particular with the mitzvahs that I give them. But Yisrael that came to receive the Torah and they rose to great heights and they are going to live on this world and in the next world even in greater heights, so therefore I have to be very particular on the mitzvahs and the diet which I give them. Therefore to Klal Yisrael, here b'lehem mitzvahs, he gave many, many mitzvahs, and he said this you're allowed to eat and this you're not allowed to eat. And that's what it says, v'zei sachayo, from the word life. And then the Medrash says, because it states, v'atem hadvekim, b'ashem elekechem, chayim kulchem hayom. There are, just like, there are different levels of life in the physical world, there will be different levels of life, there are different levels of life in the spiritual world. And v'atem hadvekim, b'ashem elekechem, chayim kulchem hayom. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that those who have come closest to me, you are all alive today. So what does it mean? The others that didn't come close are not alive. It's a different life. It's a different quality of life. And a different level of life. Physically we do not see distinctions in life on this world. If you'll examine people, you'll find amongst all the nations, each one will have their strong points and each one will have their weak points. But you won't find differences of physical quality and physical nature in this world. Chai ene shivim shona. Person lives basically 70 years, being Megvur Shmeinim Shona. If he's strong, he'll live 80 years, and so forth and so on. But you won't find distinctions. So, what does it mean? Vatem advekim, Hashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayeh, that you that came close to me, you are all alive. Or what does it mean? Leman yarich yomecha, leman tarich yomecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do this mitzvah that I will give you long days. The Gemara says, what do you mean long days? We don't see that Jews live any longer than non-Jews. So what does it mean, long days? It means that your life will be a different level spiritually. At the spiritual levels and in the spiritual world. Now all nations were given mitzvahs. But from the fact that Israel were given more mitzvahs, this means that they were given a higher spiritual level. And this is what the mitzvahs are for. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says HaChayo, that he commanded them on this mitzvah of Chayo, on the mitzvah of living animals, because they have to have a diet accordingly. So what do we see? We're not speaking here at a physical level. We're speaking here at a spiritual level. So this is the attitude that one must have when it comes to this whole parsha of Macholos Asuras. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us mitzvahs, given us particular mitzvahs, given us what to eat, and has forbidden us what to eat. But that's not because at the natural level there's something wrong, but because at the spiritual nature or the spiritual source of this is not right for us. Where Klal Yisrael that were uplifted and they were given a different spiritual wavelength, they have to have other spiritual mitzvahs, and therefore they have to have a diet accordingly. So therefore Zosachaya Asher Teichlu, these are the animals which you shall eat, and these are the animals which you shall not eat. This is the attitude that the Torah gives us when it comes to Macholos Asuras, the parshas of forbidden foods, and this is something very, very important, especially in our days. And I say this in our days because the Maral says that if what the Torah commanded and forbade was merely because of natural and physical qualities, here, merely because of natural and physical qualities, he says, then you are reducing Torah to a sefer shel teva, a sefer refuos, or a sefer shel segulos. You are reducing Torah to becoming a book of cures, or a book of the nature, or a book of charms. This is what he says. That if you view that the reasons why the Torah brought close some animals and distant others because of natural qualities, he says, then you are reducing mitzvahs Hashem, the mitzvahs of Hashem and the Torah, to a sefer refuos, to a book of cures. There's nothing wrong with a book of cures. Halavai, we should have many, many great books of cures, but that's not mitzvahs Hashem. To a sefer hateva, to a book of science, or to a sefer skulais. A sefer skulais is a book of charms and witchcraft. And unfortunately, our generation is suffering much from this, because many of their attitudes towards mitzvahs are not that it's a mitzvahs Hashem, but it's of these other categories. So therefore this is very important to understand all of the time, and especially in our time, that this is given so the Jew can live, that it will correlate with his spiritual life, with his spiritual quality of the nefesh that was given to the Jew.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.